The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network
on News Talk.
A man of remarkable vision, a decent man who really did try to do something original for his country, a rare leader. There's just some of the tributes being paid to Mikhail Gorbachev, the former Soviet leader who brought the Cold War to a peaceful end. He passed away at the age of 91. He was celebrated outside Russia. His policies of openness with the West and reforms at home, though, left the Russians with mixed feelings. To get some insight on his legacy and influence, I'm joined by Professor of Politics at University of Limerick and specialist on Russia, Neil Robinson. Good morning, Neil.
Good morning, Anton.
Neil, to what extent did he bring about the end of the Cold War, or to what extent did he provide palliative care to the USSR as its economy tanked?
Well, he was instrumental in bringing about the end of the Cold War, largely because he wanted to de-escalate the conflict with the West in order to divert resources back to the domestic Soviet economy, which was in a lot of trouble. So the two are connected fundamentally, and he struggled to reform the Soviet economy, and as he struggled to reform the Soviet economy, he began to engage more and more with political reform. That increased his popularity even more in the West, but ultimately that was what caused the Soviet Union to collapse.
And is he seen as responsible for that collapse by the Russian public, or is there an understanding that he had little choice but to navigate it?
No, he's largely seen as responsible for the collapse. That is the narrative that has come to dominate Russian political discourse over the last few years.
And what about the sense that what came with perestroika was new freedoms, was new transparency, was an era of democracy? Does he get any credit domestically for that?
Amongst the more liberal sections of the population, yes. Many people forget, you know, that some of the sort of freedoms that they still have to a degree came from Gorbachev. But for many people, those freedoms came at such an economic and social cost that they tend to discount them.
What was his background? Was he traditional Communist Party, or did he have democratic and liberal leanings from the outset?
That is a widely debated issue. He obviously came through the Communist Party. He was slightly different to his predecessors as Soviet leader in that he was the first Soviet leader since Lenin to have actually gone to university and to have been a college graduate. So in that sense, he was different to his predecessors. But I would say that he kept faith with many of what he saw as the sort of classic principles of Leninism, and that meant that he retained an attachment to the Communist Party right the way throughout his reign, and that attachment that meant that he often sent out mixed signals about reform, and that was the cause of many of the problems that his political reforms ran into.
What about his period after office? Because he famously ran for the presidency and received, I think, slightly less than 1% of the popular vote. What was his retirement like in a country where he was so unpopular?
Well, his retirement was an active and a busy one. He had his foundation in Moscow, which, you know, sort of tried to preserve and propagate his ideas and his legacy. He traveled a lot. He was obviously, you know, sort of seen globally as a great statesman, and he enjoyed those times abroad. He was a family man, and he spent time with his wife and daughter. His wife obviously died in 1999, so, you know, sort of that, I think, was a heavy blow to him. But politically at home, his influence, as you say, had really declined massively.
And did he tend to keep his commentary to himself on the direction that Russia took after his premiership?
No, he maintained, you know, sort of a public persona. He made statements. He was the co-owner of a liberal newspaper, and, you know, sort of he published, he made speeches, and he was critical of both Yeltsin and Putin. So, you know, sort of he wasn't quiet. You know, sort of he kept to what he would have seen his principles pretty much to the end, although he was more critical of Putin on domestic politics than he was on foreign policy.
And given Putin's drive towards authoritarianism and towards imperialism in recent years, what's the expectation, do you think, of the kind of commentary and analysis and public state treatment of Gorbachev's death and legacy that we'll see in the next few days?
Well, Putin's spokesman, main spokesman last night, you know, sort of offered condolences and said that Putin would be writing, you know, sort of a traditional kind of telegram to the family, you know, sort of saying, you know, he's sorry for their trouble, but nothing's appeared as yet. There have been some unofficial statements saying that Gorbachev will not get a state funeral. I suspect he probably didn't want one. He would have much rather be buried with his wife than have some flash funeral. But the commentary in Russia has already begun laying blame on him for the collapse of the Soviet Union and seeing that as the source of Russia's contemporary troubles with the world.
You mentioned in international terms the way that he is closely associated with the ending of the Cold War, and I think people, when they cast their mind back, will see a lot of that as hinging on the relationship between himself and President Reagan. Was that an unusual duality between a US president and a Russian premier, or rather a premier of the USSR as then was?
Yes. I mean, you know, sort of there had been moments where some American presidents and general secretaries of the Communist Party of the Soviet Union had, you know, sort of rubbed along. But the relationship between Gorbachev and Reagan was, you know, sort of a good one. And much of the credit of that probably goes to Gorbachev. You know, sort of he was a very effective communicator with foreign leaders in particular. You know, sort of he had the ability to make them trust him and trust his word, and he worked some of that magic both on Margaret Thatcher and on Ronald Reagan.
And it was particularly impressive with Reagan because Reagan had long campaigned against communism and made it an absolute pillar of what he stood for, and regularly took runs at the politics of the USSR. In that context, to build a relationship with him was very impressive.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, sort of before Gorbachev, you know, sort of Reagan had made jokey comments when warming up for a speech about, you know, sort of nuclear war with the Soviet Union. He'd obviously called it the evil empire. You know, sort of he called for the Berlin Wall to be torn down. So, yes, building a relationship with Reagan was a major achievement. He was helped, Gorbachev, in that by the sort of trust that he built up in particular with Margaret Thatcher, who was, you know, sort of played a great role in convincing Reagan that Gorbachev was, as she said, a man that you can do business with.
We've talked about the domestic view of him and the international view of him. What of the view of him in what could be referred to as the Soviet satellite states, Eastern Europe, that were once within the Soviet bloc and now are no more?
In Eastern Europe, his reputation is a relatively good one. He was popular during the first years of his reign in Eastern Europe, where he was seen as being very different to the gerontocrats who ran much of Eastern Europe in the mid to late 1980s. So, you know, sort of his role in helping peacefully bring about the end of the Soviet Empire is somewhat respected. The affection for him in former Soviet republics, which are now independent states, is not as great because, of course, there was more conflict in some of those, particularly in the Baltic states, in Georgia, and there people still tend to associate him with some of the efforts to roll back their freedoms and their push for independence, which is not quite fair in that, you know, sort of he wasn't the commissioner of some of the violence that took place against the independent movements in places like the Baltics, but he was complicit with what happened there because he didn't punish the people who had unleashed violence. So his reputation in some parts of the former Soviet world is good and in some parts bad.
Neil, thank you very much. That is Neil Robinson, who is Professor of Politics at University of Limerick and a specialist on Russia.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.